Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
We are back for Season 3 and it's going to be a good one.
With the aim of raising the profile of British distance running, we're bringing you more content than ever.
Every week, we'll give you insights into the lives and training of some of the UK's top athletes and coaches,
as well as all the latest updates from the races up and down the country and around the world.
You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major podcast streaming platforms.
Keep a lookout for our new YouTube channel too, where we're posting workout videos, shoe reviews, and much more.
Stay up to date by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
And if you want to drop us a line, send us an email to info@sundaypodcast.com.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Okay, welcome back to another episode. Just Matt and I today. We thought we'd cover some of the recent news. Obviously, we had marathon world records the past two weekends on the men's and the women's side. So we thought we'd get our teeth stuck into those and also cover some road relays results and look ahead to the cross country too. Matt, though, first off, how you been? You been coaching this morning, have you?
Coaching this morning, mate. You're still in stash. Yeah, good morning. Putting them through some nasty hill reps. Cross country season is upon us. Very much looking forward to it, mate. Squad's in good nick. Got their, you know, in university comp next week, and then all eyes on kind of Cardiff Cross, to be honest with you, which I'm sure we'll touch on as well a little bit. Small preview. Don't know too much about it just yet, except that introduction of the mile. So we'll talk about that a little bit. But yeah, all good with me. Weather's good, and off to America next week to celebrate Zach's wedding. So pretty busy actually, tying up a few loose ends this weekend.
Yeah, good stuff. Always time to catch up about the latest athletics, though, for sure. Where should we start? We mentioned Assefa when we kind of spoke to Richard Nuraka. So if you want to get really into that women's world record of 2:11.53 from Berlin, make sure you listen to that episode that we recorded a couple of weeks ago. But more recently, Kelvin Kiptum, last weekend, 2:35. I believe it was Chris Barnes who posted on his story. Will he be the one who breaks two in a legitimate race?
Well, you'd certainly bank on him to do it, wouldn't you? Been a lot of news coming out, and it's actually quite good that I think we've waited a little bit to do this review, because I think as the week's gone, we've found out a lot more details about the guy. Who is Kelvin Kiptum? Obviously, we know what he ran in London, but I feel like even then, like, didn't really know too much about him. Start to find out a little bit about his training this week. And also, we can actually look into world records as a whole and trends. And I've read a few amazing articles on it. One from Outside Online about these world records, which I think we're going to talk about. And, you know, if we start with the men, I think we are in an era where, I don't know, it's almost, you're seeing one so common, aren't you? It's, you feel like a world record's going down. And I think a lot of people were not surprised by Kiptum. A lot of people, like, can imagine 6-7 years ago, if people are going, oh my God, like, what the hell? Guys just took 2 minutes off the world record. But yeah, not many people bat an eyelid. And it was kind of, people were expecting it, and it wasn't a big deal. And I think we are in an era where we have seen a lot of world records, but history tells us we actually haven't seen any more in the 2010s, in the early part of 2020s, than we have in previous decades. And I'll get into that in a little bit. But were you surprised by that run?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one. To say, I could not say I predicted it, but I think surprise, yeah, I don't think I was surprised. I think I saw it and thought, wow, amazing run. But I wasn't like, oh my God, that's ridiculous. That was never going to happen. Not that I think they're all kind of, I don't know, people, you got to ask the question, like, are these records legit? In my opinion, it's just as legit as the ones that have come previously. If I'm going to start questioning legitimacy, I'm questioning.
Well, no, let's talk about on that men's side, Kemeso and Kipsang. I think I'm pretty right in saying they have both. I mean, Kipsang especially, he is a known drugs cheat.
No. And, but what I'm saying is,
man, I think Kemeso had as well. So
yeah, he had. No, they both had. But what I'm saying is, it annoys me when people say, "Oh, Kipton, that can't be right," but they're the biggest Kipchoge fanboys going.
In my head,
that's my point. So yeah. I'm saying, fine. Like, if I'm going to hold my hands up and say, "Oh, I'm enjoying Kipchoge's performances, brilliant," I'm going to then enjoy Kipton's as well. That's how I view it anyway.
100%. I enjoy Kipton, and I think it's a little bit refreshing in a way. I mean, there is no way in in my opinion, that Kipchoge, who is what, 38 years old and aging, and they suspect he's older. They actually suspect he's in his 40s. Surely there is no way. And like, I don't care how good Kipchoge is, that 40-year-old man, or, you know, just a little bit younger, if you want to go official, is top of his game and unbeatable in the marathon. Like, surely, you know, in this day and age, we have someone who is a little bit younger and can run faster than Kipchoge. So, and obviously that happened. And Kipton's the man who's done it. But look, Kipchoge, I'm like, if he's out there running 2:02, 2:01 at his age, haven't been in the sport that long, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. We have to respect it. We do. But surely there can be someone better who's a little bit fresher and maybe a little bit more specialized for the event. In a sense that they, you know, they've come straight to it. Like, Kipton has a young age and he can handle more training, etc. So I don't think we should go straight down the drugs route. He's beating Kipchoge. I mean, he must be.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, I didn't want to bring it up. I'm the one who brought it up. But I saw a few things and I'm sort of like, oh, yeah, but I don't see this sort of response when Kipchoge does it. So why am I seeing it now? I'm not saying what I think either way, but I think if they either both are or they're both not, that's my sort of view on it.
And let's talk about the training, because, you know, it came out this week, Kipton's training. He announced that he's done a few 150-mile weeks, 156-mile week or something like that, and everyone was shell-shocked, including me. I was like, mate, that's bonkers. But then, you know, you actually think about it, we talk a little bit more, and we remind ourselves, we had Richard Nuraka on a podcast two, three weeks ago. He openly told us he did. I know you didn't have a Garmin back then, but openly told us he did around about 150-mile weeks in his marathon build-up. Only as one-offs, he would usually run 130 to 140 in his weeks. And so I'm thinking, if Nuraka can do that in the 90s, in old money, you know, in old battered shoes, you know, with not much cushion, not much support, and without the, you know, the fueling improvements, without shoe improvements, all the technology advancements, surely a man like Kipton can kind of hold that mileage as well. I mean, Dave Bedford used to run like 200 miles a week or something stupid, or 180 miles a week. So people were absolutely flabbergasted at this and almost deemed it as impossible. Whereas I think, I don't know if it's impossible.
No, and I think the whole idea of this 2-hour marathon was like originally because people thought it would be impossible. And it's like, to try and achieve something like that, to run 2 hours for a marathon, of course you're doing something that seems impossible.
And I'm thinking, you know, maybe it does just take, and me and you have spoke about this, you know, to actually do what Kipton's done, he is going to have to do something different that other people aren't doing. Like, he's not going to get 120, 130 mile a week, probably isn't going to suffice. There's a lot of, you know, elite marathon runners who will hit that kind of mileage. On the radio,
not just that, there's a lot of non-elites who can run.
I was going to say, mate, let alone the club runner, you know, in the UK, who does over 100 mile a week every week and has a full-time job. So if they're doing that, you think a professional like Kipton could do considerable amounts more.
Yeah.
But it's funny, isn't it, how we kind of normalize training and we normalize certain levels of training. We say, oh, no, you can't go above X.
Mm.
Why not? And look, this might be a case of, Kipton, you know, we may eat our words in a couple of years, you know, Kipton may be on drugs, etc. Or he might just be, you know, pushing the boundaries, pushing the limits. And it sounds like he lives, we know how Kipchoge lives, and it's very much like a monk. Sounds like Kipton is exactly the same. And I think as well, like, he is just going through a period in his career, in his life, where he just doesn't care. He's training very hard. His coach even said, I've tried to slow him down to long out his career a little bit, but Kipton doesn't seem to be interested in that. He just wants to smash some world records, smash some races. So he's exciting, and I think it's actually a little bit refreshing that someone has run quicker than Kipchoge.
I think so. It keeps it interesting. And let's put it this way, like, if the women's world record now 2:11:53 is what it is, the men's has got to be closer to 2 hours, you know. Like, that women's wasn't just going to keep coming down, and the men's was going to stay.
Because
you remember before, we were talking sort of 2:03 and 2:17.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not just that the women are just improving. Like, everyone's going to improve, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, two phenomenal world records. I mean, like, look, we're looking at now the next sort of barriers like at 2 hours for the men and 2:11 for the women. The next sort of barriers, we're talking a sub 2 for the men and a sub 2:10 for the women, which is a mouth-watering prospect.
Yeah, and let's talk about world records in general, right? Because I read a stat. There's been 3 world records. So from 2010, pre-carbon shoe, 2010 to 2016, there's been 3 world records, pre-carbon shoes. And only since carbon shoes have introduced in 2016, so what's that, 7 years, basically almost 8 years. We first saw Kipchoge go carbon shoes in 2016. There's only been 3 world records in a longer time span. So, like, people, I think we potentially are getting a little bit carried away with these world records. This is
I think the side, by the way. The thing with the world records, though, I'd argue, is that and what slightly skews the results is that, say, the best person has the carbon shoes, they then break a world record, but everyone else is improving as well. It's just the world record's a lot quicker.
Mm.
And I think that there's no doubt about how the depth has improved. And we've seen that in a club running perspective as well.
Depth definitely has. But like a lot of the down to the depth is more people seem to be training harder, to be honest, even at a club level, like the level we're at, mate, like how many more people are just putting in more hours in the sport now. Whereas
because of shoes has helped people do that.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I suppose you make a point because of shoes. Yeah. But on the women's side as well, you know, you look at like these massive world records get broken. I mean, what the hell were people thinking when Paula ran 2:15? Like we're sitting here going, a Sefa, or I'm not sure that's legit. You know, 2:11:53, bonkers. But man, when Paula ran 2:15, like that was a good 2 minutes off her own world record, and she was way ahead of the next person. You know, mental, and that record stood for years. So maybe we are just seeing a bit of a freak at the marathon, like Paula was, and you never know. But I do think the women's marathon, how do I word it without getting in trouble, mate? I think it hasn't been attacked in the same way the men's has.
Yeah, I think it's fair, even just the whole breaking two thing. I think,
yeah.
I know it wasn't, the original breaking two wasn't a race and it only involved 3 people, but I think that moved along the event in a sense.
Yeah.
I mean that's fair to say. And I think now we're seeing probably, I guess you'd argue, yeah, in Sefa and Hassan, the women's almost is getting more attack now.
Agreed. I think it will be, and it will drive that, you know. When we had Bekele and Kipchoge going for world records every time they stepped on a start line, you know, I think that was really pushing things forward. And I think on the women are now at that level, but I think there was a period where it wasn't, you know.
Yeah, I think it just wasn't the main focus. And I think probably, like, Kipchoge's done great for the sport, and it's obviously not his fault, but I think he just took the limelight away from everything else. Was just this Kipchoge men's marathon, 2 hours. That was, and it just, why, if you're going to talk about the marathon, that's what you talk about, because why wouldn't you, you know? And it wasn't a case of, yeah, it was, it's just how it felt, I think. But yeah, brilliant. And also what I like as well, because the shoes are here, so we got to embrace them. I love, we've almost got another shoe war again now, in the Alphafly prototypes came out for Chicago. Nike brought on these like new singlets for everyone as well. Having had the kind of Adidas Berlin marathon just before, where the new Adidas shoe had come out, and Sefa ran that 2:11. So then Hassan's gone and run 2:13. Kipton's obviously gone and run 2:11. So we've got 2 new, brand new super shoes that are just leading the way yet again. Nike and Adidas just going at it.
Goodness me. What are you going to buy, people? I think the Nike shoe is going to be released in January. I haven't heard much word when the Adidas shoe is going to be.
Well, they actually went out, but it was limited and they sold out. Like there was one release already.
Oh, sorry. Yes. So, yeah. So the Adidas shoe you can't get hold of. Actually, I did see something is reselling for stupid money at the moment, £2,000 or something stupid. You'll probably know better than me, Lum. But yeah, I mean, I would love to know, like, if these, you know, if these shoes are legit.
I'm sure they're better
money, or are they just incredible athletes in this show? I mean, do you know what, someone like Hassan 2:13:44, I actually wasn't that shocked by that, to be honest, you know, considering a Sefa ran 2:11 2 weeks before it. You know, I mean, Hassan went real hard early and faded a little bit in that race. But I'd say that's about where you'd put Hassan. I mean, she won London in crazy fashion. She's had an insane summer on the track. She's literally one of the best in the world at everything she does. So I would kind of put her in that ballpark.
But I think that's all super helpful for her. Like if you're Sifan Hassan and you know, yeah, look, whatever event it is, I'm pretty much always there or thereabouts, one of the best in the world. Someone goes and runs 2:11. Basically 2:12. Why are you going to go off at 2:17 pace? You're not, are you? Because you're like, well, someone's just run that. And that's why she's so good, because she backs herself that, yeah, she's always going to be there or thereabouts. So why wouldn't she go off? One thing I want to chat about as well, like, not that Chicago's ever been like a bad marathon, don't get me wrong, but
it's good publicity for Chicago. Yeah,
yeah, like Chicago now. Yeah. Ooh, Chicago now the place. Like, I think we've always spoken about London, Berlin in terms of the majors, and then
again I think Berlin. You know, again I think just on the women's side, get to run with men, see, that's just a big help. Looking at the way Assefa ran that world record though, for me Berlin's still the place. Like, you know, she had a massive pack of men with her, she then had a male pacer the whole way. I don't know if there's rulings in Chicago that the pacer has to drop out or something, because Hassan was on her own for quite a way toward the end. Whereas you look at someone like Assefa, she actually had a pacer till 41.xk. To me, that didn't sit right. I think Naroka said he's all for it. You know, he's all for pushing the boundaries, pushing the limits. But I just think, you know, I think to run a world record and have someone there every step of the way, like it wouldn't sit right if we saw a track race and a woman was attacking a 1500 record and they had a pacer the whole way until the last 50 meters. You know, that's kind of this same percentage wise. So I would like to see there be a limit, maybe 30K, something like that. Let people run it on their own. But yeah, Hassan was largely on her own for the last part as well. And so I think she's got quicker in her legs, to be honest with you. But yeah, Chicago, huge race, but I still think Berlin is probably the quickest course, isn't it? Especially if you're a woman. But someone we need to talk about as well is Rose Harvey. What a run from her. You know, a few weeks after Charlotte Perdue runs 2:22, we're like, oh, you know, surely she is the person to beat now. Maybe banks her spot for Paris, but Rose Harvey chucking herself in the mix. And I don't know what's going to happen with that marathon. I don't know if they're going to... I just think if they have to do London as a selection, that's tough.
In what sense?
Huh?
In what sense is that tough?
Well, they're going to have to come back and run Paris. What, three? London's end of April. Olympics is end of July. So what is that? May, June, July, three months?
Yeah.
That's is quite a tough window for them. And I think that's actually been one of the problems. I swear every year it kind of does work out like that. So I don't know if they're going to pick that team
earlier, you mean?
Yeah. We need to have a look at the selection policy. I can't remember it. London might not be a trial and they might just pick it on time. Again, though, that's unfair in my eyes. So they've got,
yeah, because I think
they've got a bit of a headache, is what I'm trying to say.
So it's always the case, isn't it? Because, yeah, even if, but you could pick it now, and yeah, right now, brilliant. But
marathon, it changes, doesn't it? You could be, yeah, cooked. Yeah.
And I think that's what is good about the track in a way, like you. Because otherwise, you end up people getting picked so far ahead. And
well, look, I saw a thing about the American trials, and people, they're going to host the American trials in Atlanta, I think, and it's going to be extremely hot, or maybe like midday or something like that. And all the Americans are moaning and writing into their governing body, you know, to say, can you move the marathon earlier on in the day? Can we have perfect conditions? We want to chase the time. And I'm just thinking, hold on a minute. This is a trial race, and do you know what? Even if it is hot, that's probably really good preparation for Paris. Because I tell you what, it's not cold in Paris. It's not 12 degrees and misty in Paris in the peak of summer. You know. So in my head, I'm just thinking, why would you? You know, if you haven't hit the standard by the time the Olympic window, you know, shuts or whatever, or by the time the trials come around, surely you've just missed your chance. That's on you. Like you've had ample time to try and hit that standard. And that's just the way the sport works.
Yeah.
So I was kind of against that whole idea. But
yeah, it's like saying in the 1500, oh, we should have our trials in Monaco so that people can run a time.
Yeah, like what? That's on you to go get the time. In this day and age, there's plenty of opportunity. And, you know, I think in the marathon as well, more than ever, like, I think this is a thing. A few Americans, like they did Chicago, like, fine, why don't they go do, they could have done a faster course, you know?
Well, it's clearly fast enough, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, if you, you know, like stuff like Berlin, for example, might have had a bit more company, might have had more of a chance to hit the time. But again, they'd lose out on a lot of money, wouldn't they? Because Americans get pretty paid pretty well in Chicago, just like Brits in London. So there is that. But yeah, that's kind of your marathon roundup, I guess, man. It's we got one more major to go, New York.
Yeah, obviously we got Bouchard going in that, so that'll be interesting to see how he goes.
And actually, Valencia Marathon, we've got Emil Kores and Mohamed.
Yeah, so exciting.
What's Mohamed going to do? He might upset everybody.
I think it's exciting for the Brits, but I think just before we kind of leave the marathon scene, I just hope we see some good head-to-heads in the marathon next year now, because that's where I think we made this argument when we had Boston and London in sort of the spring, that yeah, brilliant that we saw 2:11 and then a 2:13 within a couple of weeks, but why couldn't have Hassan and Assefa just race each other? And why couldn't have Kipchoge and Kiptum just race each other? Like, just make better spectacles, you know.
That's the race we want, Kipchoge, Kiptum. Hopefully it comes at the Olympic Games in Paris. That would truly be something to see those two, no paces, nothing. I got to give it to Kiptum as well. Like 13:50, about 35 to 40K, runs inside 60 minutes again for his second half. Seems to be the way to run it. So those people who are doing marathons and half marathons are not just a negative split, but a ridiculous negative split. Seems to be the way to do it. But mate, let's move on to road relays. Obviously, that was last weekend. We're probably a little bit late to the party. Appreciate it was a little while ago, but we got to talk about, I think one thing we've got to talk about is Stuart McSwain for Belgrave with the DQ. Is that a bit over the top? Or were they right to kind of DQ him?
I don't know. I don't know the ins and out of the sort of rulings around UK club representation. I think having someone like McSwain run for your club can only be a good thing. But if it's not been done the right way, in terms of if they've not signed him up in the way they're meant to, then yeah, you need to DQ it. You can't just let it go because it's Stuart McSwain and he's good for the sport in a way. But apparently they realized on the day that they were going to get DQ'd before and decided to run anyway. So that's fine.
I think they knew. Yeah, I think they knew.
They were told. So that's good. It's good that they didn't like just finish and then were told. Mm. I don't know. I don't know the rulings well enough. I think, yeah, if he's legitimately a club member, then it should stand. And if not, then it shouldn't. And I presume that's the only way it didn't. I mean, I saw something, maybe it was you had to be registered for a certain amount of time in order to do it.
I think so. Yeah, that's the usual rule. They're going to have him next year, so maybe they'll win next year. But
well, that's it. Yeah, if it was the timing, yeah, then he can come out next year and they can have him. So,
I mean, overall, they were what, 17th overall on the results. That doesn't really affect anyone. Probably didn't need to get DQ'd down there.
Yeah, you say that, but you should make, I always think you should make the same slightly argument of, I don't know, like, it's like in football when referees give something in the, they give a foul in the middle of the pitch, but they won't give it in the box.
In the pitch, yeah, the penalty, yeah.
You know, like it should be the same everywhere.
Good point.
So,
I mean, I guess it would have been kicked up a fuss if they're actually in contention for a team title. For me though, really good publicity stunt from Belgrave. Huge for them. Maybe huge for their socials, I don't know, but pretty cool. And well, look, can we attract more internationals? Could we, you know, could we make, a lot of people love the road relays concept. And it is a cool concept and there's nothing quite like it. And, you know, could they grow it? Yes. Will they? Nope. There's quite a few, you know, old people involved in it. Like, you know, you could make that a little bit jazzier, a little bit cooler. Had a few conversations with people about it as well. Like, imagine you have a big screen at the road relay showing you, you know, live splits, you know, live gaps. they're able to do it at an NCAA level. Like, I know it'd be a little bit investment, but it would be brilliant for people in and around Sutton Park, you know, that tented area, to have a massive screen and they can see who's moved up X places, who hasn't, like a live leaderboard almost. Maybe a little bit further fetched is a live stream, you know, just feeding into Sutton Park, big screen in the park. Obviously that's really, really costly, but you know, would be amazing if we did see something like that. Because it's very hard to tell kind of who's where all the time at these sort of relay events, isn't it? But mate, we'll talk about faster legs on that men's side. Someone I want to talk about, Will Barnico, second behind Stuart McSwain, 2 seconds behind Omar Ahmed, who got fastest leg of the day, 16:34. By the way, in the 16:30s is ridiculous. Pretty sure like that's top five fastest times around there over all the years, and we know the course hasn't changed in that time. But Will Barnico, genuinely think this guy is going to have a stellar year. Obviously, won the Euro under 20 cross last year, beat Nick Griggs, does okay on the track, flies under the radar a little bit, medaled at Euros under 20s, but like doesn't get the races. He doesn't go abroad. Seen him run a 13:40 odd in a BMC all on his own. I think he's going to make the senior team. Obviously, he'll run for the under 23s at Eurocross hands down. He might even win the whole damn thing. He looks that good when he's running. I think he's got a very bright future.
Yeah, it's a bold statement, mate, but I think we have always seen people like juniors coming through. I think they always do well.
Didn't Richard Goodman win that one year? Durable.
Callum Hawkins did.
Callum Hawkins won it as an under 23, yeah.
Yeah, I remember Callum Hawkins won it under 23, yeah. So, yeah, interesting. Be really cool if he does do well. And we are excited for that cross-country to get underway, because we're sort of probably sort of about 2 weeks away from starting to be able to actually piece things together. I guess we won't see as much as normal, because Cardiff Cross, we'll get into that, is a bit later than normal. So we might actually be able to piece things together quite so early this year. But yeah, Will Barnico, great run. Obviously, Leeds men took the victory. I think a lot of people predicted that. They're just, I wouldn't say dominant in terms of their score, but they just seem to be brilliant at getting all their best guys out every single time. And I think that's testament to the club, the culture they must have there, that all their top runners want to show up for all these team events.
They just have a really good average though, mate. Like, pretty sure their time, they all pretty much average. Like, I think the average time is 17:20. They had a few guys slower, a few guys quicker. I think Sesman got down to the 17 lows. But like, when you think, you know, they didn't have that stellar person who's able to go and run 16:30. Like, you know, Aldershot had Will Barnico, Belgrave had Stuart McSwain. But they've just got really good strength and depth, mate. They are the best club in the country, and they have been for quite a while now. It's going to be, you know, can someone rival them? AFD in second, CNC, who are a brilliant club as well, in third. So yeah, probably the script is how we thought it would go. But on the women's side, let's talk about that, because Aldershot dominating again.
Yeah, Aldershot dominating, and I don't know if anyone saw, because you wouldn't really see on the results, but Aldershot women were first and second A and B teams, but obviously due to kind of medals and stuff, B teams can't medal. So
Stupid rule.
In what sense?
I just feel like this, it's just another team. Like, it doesn't matter if it's from the same club. It's four different people.
I don't know. If a club goes
and gets 1, 2, 3, who cares? Like, I wouldn't walk away that. I mean, obviously, if you're Belgrave, who finished fourth, they got a bronze medal, they'll be happy with that. But to me, you haven't really got a bronze medal, have you? Like, I wouldn't like it. It's just a silly rule. That really is. Like, if you've got eight people from the same club who are all good enough to be first and second in the country, you deserve a medal.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. I think Forest is quite similar to a lot of other sports, though. Like, in football, you can't have like a first and a second team in the same, like, in the top divisions.
Yeah, but it just never happened that way. I also think it just encourages other clubs to kind of pull their finger out a little bit as well. But, you know, not to reward Aldershot's runners for being that good, I think it's a little bit unfair. It's, you know, it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
Not their fault. They run for Aldershot, and Aldershot attracts so many good runners. It's credit to the club. It's history. You know, all the people who have been involved at Aldershot have attracted these people. They deserve to get some recognition for it. They could get 1, 2, 3, in my opinion. I wouldn't be fazed. I think they deserve it, you know? So, weird rule. So I guess obviously Aldershot Bees, they miss out. I mean, it was very close on the line anyway. Leeds in second and Belgrave in third in the end with Kate Axel running a strong leg for them. Fastest leg of the day, Lily Partridge, 13:55 for Birchfield. End up down at 7. She's looking good. Coming into the cross season as well. So,
yeah, and that's it. Takes us in nicely. Cross season, obviously, probably kicking off today for a lot of people. So we're recording Saturday 14th. And then I'm sure there'll be a few tomorrow as well. Like all the leagues have started this weekend. Be interesting to see, because normally we have Cardiff Cross Challenge around this time. But no sort of national event for now. We've got 4 weeks to go till that actually kicks off. And then you're only a couple of weeks away from Liverpool. So it's going to be quite hard to call, really, because apart from people doing their own league meets, and we normally expect them to just sort of jog around those and do all right anyway in terms of the top men and women. Nothing to really compare people with yet.
No, not at all. I think we'll have to study all the results from all these league matches. I think it has probably boosted the standard at league matches this weekend, to be honest, given there is no Cardiff Cross, because it used to be a bit of a favourite of a lot of people to go there, do that, get their season started. So I think we are going to see some stronger league matches today, that's for sure. But we'll have to look, analyse, and then look ahead to Cardiff, which I think is going to be fantastic. Obviously, it's a World Gold Label cross-country event. I think we're going to see some very, very fast people off the front. And I think we're going to see huge strength and depth as well. And I actually think it's more appealing given the course, given the location. It's way more appealing than Milton Keynes ever was that time of year. And obviously, we've seen the addition of this Elite Mile race as well.
Yeah, so Elite Mile's in there. Interesting one, really. I think great concept, and I think it's going to be an enjoyable watch. But my thing with moving the kind of timeline of the Cardiff Cross is, I'm not sure if some people will just be thinking, it's a bit too close to Liverpool on both accounts, really, like in both the kind of long traditional race and also the mile. Because I don't know. I don't know if people will want to show their hand too much in the mile so that you almost have a rerun of it in Liverpool. I think people might stay away. And then a 10K, like 2 weeks out from... Is it 2 weeks out? I'm pretty sure it's 2 weeks out. I don't know. You can take some fatigue into that. And I think that is also why, I think you're right, the course at Cardiff and the event itself is better. But I think that's why Milton Keynes was always a bit flatter than maybe Cardiff, was that it was quite close. And some people were thinking, maybe I don't want to be that close.
Yeah, you do make a good point. Week after Mansfield, always busy. People might want to get stuck into another training block. So, but we'll see. I mean, the mile, by the way, if you are interested in the mile and you haven't heard about it, or you're a coach listening or whatever, I think, you know, the standards aren't unreasonable to get into that mile. Also, sports shoes are offering some places for that mile. If you do meet the standards, I think off the top of my head, I think the men's 1500 was around about 350-ish. I mean, we've got hundreds of blokes in this country who can run that. Women's, off the top of my head, maybe about 425-ish, something around that mark as well. So although it is an elite mile, by kind of ranking, you wouldn't say that is elite, because we've got a lot of people who have done that time. But yeah, sports shoes are offering a few places, so get in touch with Chris Barnes or Podium on Instagram as well, because Podium are going to give a few places out, and they are, I think you get some free Dragonflies as well if you're going to do it, and some free Aeroswift kit, some free Nike kit. So if you are listening, why not? I mean, I was in shape, I'd probably give it a good go. Unfortunately, 350, it's just a bit beyond me at the moment, sadly.
Yeah, perhaps. Will you be getting around in the long course, mate?
Absolutely not, mate. I'll be on coaching duties that weekend. The whole of Oxford University will cross country club will go to Cardiff and get that done, so it should be a great day out for them. Also, they'll pick their varsity teams off the back of that as well. So it's quite a meaningful race and a good course to do it on. So coaching duties, we'll probably be on podcast reporting duties as well. So unfortunately won't be in the mix in Cardiff Cross.
Yeah, maybe I'll go around with a GoPro on, mate, and do that as my reporting.
I'll tell you what, mate, you go around, get a lap done. I'll grab a quick pop interview with you, you know, after a lap. You can tell me how lap one goes.
I'll jump back in
and then we'll do it again on lap two. Catch up then.
I might manage to finish if I have a little break in between each lap.
So. I think you will. It's a debate I often think about. You know, sometimes I think we'd be quicker if we did fartlek around these courses.
I mean, I can handle K reps fine. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just the continuous speed we struggle with. So yeah, should be a great weekend all round, mate. I mean, yeah, we'll both be there. So looking forward to that, and then of course Liverpool after that towards the business end. So. Yes, yeah. Keep an eye on the channels, hey, mate, because we've got two stellar guests coming up. One's just retired.
Oh, we can announce it. If people have got this far into the pod, we can announce it for them. So if you listen this far, next week's guest, Laura Waitman, we recorded with her yesterday, but we thought we'd tease you for a week. So you've got to wait to listen to that one. But brilliant episode, obviously, as Matt said, just retired. But we reflected upon a fabulous career and we also looked ahead to what she might do now and kind of how she's feeling at the moment. So that was really good. But hopefully you've enjoyed this episode anyway. Plenty of things that we thought were good to cover and needed to be covered. And we'll catch you very soon.